and welcome to What the Code here at the Xteam Studio live in Sao Paulo. And I'm very excited today. I've got my first guest, which is Bruno Germano. Bruno, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Amit. It's so good to be here. I would say like it's my second time here. I went in the first season in Portuguese and now in English. That's really cool. Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you doing both episodes, and it's really neat that, you know, I saw that you have a lot of followers online, and I wanted to get a bit of an understanding of your background. Unfortunately, I don't speak Portuguese, so I couldn't understand it. So perhaps I'd love to from the very beginning, let's start with your origin story. I'd like to get to know you a bit. Tell me how you got into tech, how you got into development and everything.
I think this is a funny story because I have the feeling that I don't have any choice beside tech to work on. Because my dad used to work, is still working with technology. He is working with, right now, some ancient language called Futura, I think. I don't recall, but it's like really old language. But he worked with tech since I was, I don't know, three, since I was four. And so I grew up with like a computer inside my home, inside my bedroom. I grew up like connected to the internet, and I recall that when I was 12, 11, we used to have like some magazines that comes with CD-ROMs, and one of these magazines had a course for three brand new language, call it HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. At this time it was 98 or 97, I don't recall. But I was still in school, like I was not having like a proper formation for start with tech. But since I have a computer at home, since I have connection to the internet and a new course to start learning, I create my first website when I was 12. And then after this, I start to involve more with my studies on tech. I went for some technical course and then to the college, and I start to work like formal work when I was 17. And so today I have 37. It's been 20 years since there. I used to say that the only thing I know to work and to make money is working with tech. I never had a different job beside technology. I never had a different job beside coder. Always being a programmer since my first job until today.
I want to go back to that first website. I remember the first website I built. I was in university and I was really into claymation, and I used to make like all these claymation figurines and make animations. And at the time, GeoCities came out. Some people might remember GeoCities. Mm-hmm. This was 1998, and I built my website, launched it on GeoCities. And I remember only about a month after, a teacher on the other side of the world who was teaching art contacted me and said that she was showing it to her students. And that just blew my mind. You know, the ability to create content and have it seen by someone else on the other side of the world. What was your first website that you were building there?
This is a funny story. Me and my brother, we are really into skateboarding when we are young. And at this time, like when 95, 96, I don't recall exactly the year, we got our first digital camera. And since we are a skateboarder, we start to take pictures, make some quick movies about our parties. And the problem is, we were in this between worlds when no one was expecting for digital picture, and we don't even had how to show this digital picture. We need to like everyone sit around the computer and watching the pictures. And I got this idea to create a website to share our pictures. And my first website was some kind of the same relation we have with social media today. It was some kind of a blog, some kind of Instagram page, but just to sharing our skating boarding pictures. The skating board picture was bad. The website was bad, but it works like for a lesson for me. And since there, I still working with technology.
I remember all the first websites were bad. You know, we were all creating ones with every bit of GIFs that we could find to add it onto there. Lots of JavaScript tricks that we can add on, and our code was just a complete mess. Exactly. But that was the beginning, right? We put everything in, and then we go, oh, this takes a month to load, so let's scale it all back and make it accessible, right?
And the connection was really bad that time too. Like, you cannot add too many pictures in the same page.
So when you were learning coding, what was your first language? What got you excited about first?
This time was JavaScript, but I don't want to say that I learned JavaScript at this time when I was 12, because I was more like copying paste codes, try to tweak some codes that I saw in the internet. But my first language that I actually learned and knew how to create some software was VB6, Visual Basic 6. And I learned this during my high school, and then I went to a course to learn better. And when I was 17, my first job was working with VB6 and Microsoft Access for database. But I know that today that Microsoft Access is not a database, but the software at this time I was creating using VB6. And I loved VB6 for this time. I worked for many years with VB6. Until I went to the web, like starting with apps, ASP, C Sharp, and etc. But my first language was VB6.
VB6 was amazing. Your ability to create an application was so quick. Mm-hmm. You could, you know, insert a button, drag and drop. It was quite new in comparison to some of the other languages that were available at the time. You know, now it's more of a common thing to do that, but it was quite exciting as to what you were able to create. And like you said, you can put the Access database behind it, and all of a sudden you've got a fully functioning program without the web. But it worked, you know, so it was quite exciting to have that created.
Yeah, we used to share one Access file between a whole LAN, and everyone in the company was using the same software connected to the same database, using like local area network. It was fun, but the part I loved VB6 at this time was debugging. Debugging VB6 at this time was so easy, and I learned a lot about how software works just debugging.
It's interesting, you know, that debugging actually has something quite intriguing about it. There's a bit of detective work behind it, mm-hmm. right? You're trying to figure out, there's a mystery here. There's something that you need to solve. And sometimes it gets frustrating, but there's a certain element that is exciting. Like, you know, how do I get through here? How do I figure out? And then when you clear it out and can keep programming, keep going on, right?
Yeah, I used to say that you are following computer steps. Like, computer take one step and you check where it goes, and then another step and you check again, and you can learn how the computer works, how the software works, how the problem is solved just watching the steps. This is really fun. Today we have like bunch of debugging tools, but at this time it was really difficult to debugging.
Something you said in there like really triggered for me. You know, there was this feeling for me with programming that it was creation. You know, you could go from nothing and create something. You know, I couldn't go outside and find some bricks and start building a house or anything. But on the computer, you can start with nothing there, and with your own mind and time, you can create something where nothing existed before. And I think that's part of something that creates a spark with programming, don't you think?
Yeah, I shared the same thing. I love to have like these moments in my life that I have one idea and I like come this kind of spark. Maybe I can solve this with code. And then I go to computer, start like a blank page, actually like a blank page in my IDE, in my editor, and start to coding. And I start to learn about my problem. I start to create solution. I have this feeling that I'm almost artisan, like I see a brute material and then I start to work on this, and I have like some significant product at the end. And this brute thing is my own thinking or some problem that I see in the world, and this is really fun. I have this same feeling that this is amazing to have this power to create things just you and your computer, maybe your keyboard. I don't know. Maybe you are talking with computer using your voice, but just you and your keyboard can create amazing things.
Well, like going back to where you started, where you were thinking, oh, I want to do programming. What is the difference between what you thought you'd be doing with programming versus what you actually do? Like how is the gap, or is it quite similar?
Whoa, really cool question. Because when I start to like studying and working with code, I was thinking that I need to deliver code to solve problems. I need to create software to make money. And today I have a different feeling that the code, like writing code, is just a small part of the work. I spend more time talking with people, trying to investigate the problem, the real problem that my client is facing or the user is facing. And this critical thinking, this investigation take more time from me than actually writing code. Writing code is just a small part of my work. And I used to say, this week I had a thing on my work that it could be solved with a quick conversation. And we were trying to writing code to deliver some solution, to deliver some features. And I was writing code. Another co-worker for me was trying to solve same problem, creating more code. And if we just talk at the start of the week, try to manage and engaging the efforts, we can solve this really quick. And so I would just say, answer your question now. At the start, I think like, I need to learn all the syntaxes. I need to learn all the patterns. I need to learn all the code that exists, all the language. I need to understand fully this language that I want to work. And right now, I'm thinking that I can know part of this technical part, but if I really understand how the people works, how the conversation in the workplace works, how the client, customer, and engineering, how this conversation between client and engineering works, I think this will make my work and my delivery better than learning a bunch of technologies, new technologies, fancy technologies, or really learning about all the language that I can learn. I think people is more important in software than coding, I think, today.
I like what you said there, the importance of communication skills to be a good programmer. You know, when we at XTeam, when we look for good developers to present to our clients, yes, we look to see what experience they have, what technologies they've learned, all that sort of stuff. That's one element of it. It's almost like that's only half the story. The other half is the person. What are their communication skills like? And I don't mean, do they have good English that they can be understood, but like, are they good listeners? Do they have empathy? When they challenge a problem, are they going to be challenging in a respectful way? Mm-hmm. If they disagree with something, would they sit quietly because they're too timid, or are they going to put it forward because they want to do it better? And also, are they invested into it? Because that's something that you said there about that understanding of what the client actually wants. Because you want their success, right? So, that element is so important. All those human skills are necessary for a person to be an amazing developer for the client.
Learning the code, like know how to code, know how to create software, just one of the tools you need to use during your day-by-day work with software. I used to say like I'm hired to write code, but I spend more time not writing code, like in meetings, in conversations, in documentations. But if thinking, like if you abstract the code, like the technical part, the whole software engineer work is about communication. Like when we are writing code, we are communicating to the computer how we want them to repeat the solution, how we want the computer to execute what we are expecting. When we are talking with my manager, I was talking how we can solve a problem in a better way. When I was talking with a customer or with a client, I'm trying to understand the problem and trying to propose solutions for them before the code. And so I think the software development work is about communication. Communication with computer, communication between different computers. If you're thinking like cloud, we have like a bunch of computers working for one software work. And we, behind a screen, behind a software screen, when you are using a software, there are many people that work in there. Designers, copywriters, developers, I don't know, manager, and etc. And all these people need to communicate to each other. And I think the work of software development is communicating. And so you need to have this ability to understand what you are thinking and try to explain to another party. Maybe it's a computer, maybe it's a person, maybe it's a client, but you need to explain what you are thinking, what you are proposing, how you want to solve the problem, and etc.
See, so many of the elements that you mentioned there are very human. And yeah, it makes me think of this challenge that people put forward to us. You know, when I explain to people, oh, we're Angsteam, we provide developers, and they say, oh, aren't you worried about AI? Isn't AI going to make it all disappear? And so much of what you said there was human, right? I think that there's elements that AI is amazing for and it's helping us to elevate, but I don't fear it. I don't see it as something that will take away any of the importance. I think it will just make us able to deliver even more to the client. How do you see it?
I'm... hey machines, if you are listening to this conversation, I'm on your side. this is just a joke, but I think I'm using AI all the day that I'm working. Like I use AI multiple days during my work day. I'm using inside my editor, inside my IDE. I use for searching. I use for learning things. Sometimes I have difficulty to understand the documentation. I upload the documentation in LLM and I can understand better. And so AI is just, again, a tool. I think this is like a huge tool. We can elevate our skills. We can learn faster. We can deliver code faster because AI is completing my code when I was writing. But I have the same feeling. I'm not afraid because AI is just mathematical model. It's like statistics. If you had like chance to learn about the statistics, you can understand better how the AI models work. They don't know exactly what they are doing, but because of a pattern of bunch of documents, bunch of code, bunch of learning the AI had, the AI can suggest the next word and the next word and the next word. And in that way, he can, I don't know if he is, it can create like a whole, page of code, but AI is learning from our knowledge. We create that code. We create that document. And we as like humans, developers and people, scientists, etc., we are creating this content that AI is learning. And so we are just prevent repeating the same problems or the same solutions or the same invest of time to create something that already exists or something that was solved before. And I think I had the feeling that AI is a great co-worker to have by our side that know all the problems that was solved before. But if we are facing a new problem, if you are facing a new product, if you are facing a new client, AI will have difficult to understand exactly what you are requesting or what you are expecting from the AI, but you have the knowledge to use AI to create this new solution, and this new solution will be used for clients and make money, etc.
That's such a great differentiation, that AI is wonderful for being able to reflect on all the history, all that's been done before, in a way that it can do with all the, you know, machine learning, all the processing and all that. But when it's something new, there's such benefit to being human, right?
I agree with this statement. If it's something new, humans have like a bunch of advantages on this, because we can create things that never exist inside our minds. I'm not telling about code or tech, etc. Inside our minds, we already create this solution. We already see this working. And this imagination or this creation thing, I think, is a big difference. But every time I say this, I say, with some mathematical models again, we can give a feeling that AI is also creating things, because AI is mixing different patterns or different solutions in the new one. And if you're thinking that solution A exists and solution B exists, but when we are mixing and merging together, we have a third solution, AI is able to do that and is able to create this. But I think the big difference between creating solution using AI or using people, we want to understand the other part. We want to engage with the other part. We want to create a solution for the other part. We want to solve the client's problem. The AI doesn't matter. The AI don't have feeling, don't have this feeling to create the solution. AI just answer a question or just answer a prompt. I think that's the difference. We want to do this for the other person.
Well, it comes back to your point before about the thing that excites you is that desire to solve a problem for a client, something that they're trying to achieve. And you're not just getting a prompt to do something, but you're invested into what they're trying to achieve and wanting to figure out the solution to that.
Yeah. And sometimes the client doesn't know exactly what he wants.
True.
And this happens often. Like me and my wife, we are building a house. And this is a really, really cool moment for me to talk about this, because I am the client now. I am the client who creates a request for the architect to build a house. And sometimes, because I'm into software engineer, maybe because I'm into problem solving, I suggest the solution, not the problem. Mm. I suggest, oh, we need to have, I don't know, a window here, because I want to see the woods. But the engineer, they have more experience. They know why there is no window in there. But every time that I propose a solution, I am afraid to have this same relationship between my clients. Like, they are proposing what I need to do and not like expecting a solution. And then I need to do this exercise to not propose a solution. And when I say that the client doesn't know exactly what is this problem, because they are requesting the solution and not claiming for the problem. We are the experts to solve problems. We are the experts that know technology, that know clouds, that know computers to solve that problem. I think if I ask for a client, how can I save your problem, he will say, okay, add like upload button so I can upload a document. But if I explain that I can upload a document, edit a document, preview a document inside a browser, I say, maybe this is better. Because I am the expert who knows how to solve a problem. I am the expert who knows how the technology works. This challenge to understand what exactly your client is claiming, what exactly is your the problem of your client, is a difference between, I would say, good developers and not so good developers. Because you need to investigate, you need to invest time, you need to listen, you need to have empathy, you need to have a bunch of human feelings to create that solution. It's not like listen for a prompt and propose a solution.
I'm sure that's been a big part of your journey and your maturity as a developer, being able to listen and not just build straight away. Mm-hmm. What would you say is, like in your perspective, what is the difference between you as a developer, at the beginning versus now? Like what are the attributes that have matured and improved over the years?
I don't know exactly when this has happened, but it was between the year 1 and year 20. I've always been these people that like to talk, like to meet people, like to be on stage, like to be on camera. I had like rock bands before. I have my YouTube channel for 6 years. I like to talk with people. I like people to see me. And in a workplace, like in an office, I've always been this person who knows everyone, who knows the children's name of each party in my team. And so I like to engage with people. I like to talk with people. During my career, I start to understand, talk with more experienced people than me in my workplace, that some things that I was thinking that was important, like learning everything about a language, was not so important. When you actually solve a problem for your client, this is important. You don't need to know the big O of each function you are writing. But if your client have a problem, solve it in the best way, cheap way, fastest way, is better than know exactly the big O of each function you are writing. But I learned this talking with people, like talking with people with more experience than me, people with more years in tech than me. When I talk office and when I talk like this workplace, I go back in time and remember actually how office I was working. And I've been working like remotely since 2018. I've been working like for foreign companies remotely from Brazil, 5 years? No, 6 years. And this place doesn't exist anymore. It's not a physical place anymore. But I think now, people who is watching this and, oh, I'm working remotely alone inside my home. But we have a big window for the world today. It's a really, really big window today. Call it your screens. You can watch YouTube videos. You can talk with different people on Instagram. You can send WhatsApp messages, Telegram messages, for almost every person in the world. And you can do that in your work, in your company, in the company that you are working. But I think today is harder to elevate this kind of skills since we are apart, I would say. Like, yeah. Everyone is in a different place. But I can remember when I was a young developer, I was so immature. Like, I used to remove some cables or put some tapes in the LAN cable so the people lost the connection. But when you remove, you don't see the tape, the transparent tape. But I remember one time when I was, don't know, 20, 21, really young. I'm close to my 40s today. I removed the laptop battery from my manager. At this time, the laptop, we had like this, I don't know, this key downside when you can remove the battery to replace the battery. And since the laptop was connected to a power, the laptop still worked, but I removed the battery. We were just planning to like see my manager come back to the work and lost the laptop's power. And then he grabs the laptop, remove the power and go to a client meeting. And he went to a client meeting without a battery.
Oh no.
And then I was doing that just for a laugh, just for jokes. But when he was back, he say, who did this? And then I need to blame me because I don't want to blame any other person in the office. And we had a long conversation about ownership, about responsibilities in the work. I didn't know his agenda. I didn't know he would have like a client meeting after I removed the battery. But I learned that at this time, each one have his own responsibility, and maybe you doesn't understand fully right now. But like you, I didn't understand fully the responsibility of my manager to go to a client meeting with a battery. But at this time, I understand that each person is part of a big plan. Yeah. A big engaged plan that we will deliver a software at the end. And I think I just told this story just to illustrate that it was not easy to learn all these skills. It was not just talking with people. Sometimes I make big mistakes and you learn by your mistakes. And so at the end, you need to make mistakes. You don't need to remove the battery of laptop your boss, but you need to make mistakes to learn. You need to talk with people to learn. It's really harder to learn alone. Learning together, learning, listening, learning, reading other one's posts or other one's book documentation is easier than just yourself trying to take your steps alone.
Oh, I completely agree. You know, I absolutely learned from my achievements and my successes, but from my mistakes and my failures, I really learned because
it's quicker.
Oh my goodness, the pain that you feel wanting to avoid that pain again. It's like, you know, the whole thing of you touch fire, it burns your finger. You don't want to ever do that again. Yeah. That pain is good for us. We need it. It's a gift because it allows us to level up, to mature, to know what not to do, which is just as important as what to do. There was something you said there before about you've been working remote for a long time, and I'm very curious for you as someone who does really enjoy that communication, that engagement with people, how do you find that work? Because for us, XTeam's been remote from the beginning, from 2006, always been remote, and for that time, for so many years before remote became a common thing, it was great because a lot of developers who are introverted like that, and they like the ability to just work from home. But for yourself, who is quite extroverted, quite communicative and all that, how do you find working remote aligning with your social behavior?
I learned that I can have bunch of different relationship with people that's not working with me. At this time, I was so invested in working, in learning, in develop my career, that I don't had this vision that I can have deeply relationship with different persons beside my work. And then I still extroverted, I still this talking person, but now I go to a gym, now I go to a bar, now I go to a parties, now I go to a park close by and meet person doing the same routine I'm doing, and etc. But I still have this lack of connection in work because this we don't have this water cooler talk. We don't have this coffee talk. And even when we use some tech tricks to do that, like in the company I'm working today, we have this Slack channel called water cooler chat, and Randall bot like make a random suggestion every week so you can meet different persons. And I did this like bunch of time, more than 20 times, I don't know. And it's different. Is the connection is different. I feel this pain. I feel this disconnection, but I'm trying to feel this need with different things. But, I'm not saying that I want to go back to office. I love to work remotely. This creates like a bunch of opportunities for me, but, we cannot have it all. Like, we cannot have all these things in the same place, in the same position. But things that I tried before to solve this, I don't do this for a while, I think more than a year, but it was like calling some friends that's not working with me, maybe not working with technology, they are working with different things, and we managed to go everyone to a co-work and spend like one day, 2 days working together, talking together, having lunch together, just to have this connection again. But today I feel empowered to choose the people who I want to work with, even if they are not working in the same company, in the same tech, in the same industry. But I can choose, I can call friends, I can call, I don't know, people who I want to connect and say, hey, I have these two seats in the co-working. What do you think about, like, go there and spend the day working together? And we don't need to work in the same company to do that today. But to be honest, I don't do that for a while, maybe more than a year. But I did this before a bunch of times.
I think it's great that you hold on to that human connection, that human interaction that is so important to many of us. But something that's really neat in the way that you do it is that you're not just working from home. Like we have this principle of working remote can be working from anywhere. And I did see on your Instagram that you were recently traveling, but that wasn't just vacation. You were working through that, weren't you?
Yeah. I love to use this statement that my work is remote, is not working from home. I don't need to be at home to work. For sure, I have like a pretty good setup here. I love to work from home, but I'm also can work from anywhere else who has like connection. I can bring my laptop and work. And recently me and my wife, we took a long road trip to the end of the world. We are living in São Paulo. We grabbed our car. It was me, her, our cat, our laptops, and we put a Starlink at the top of the car and we drove until the world's end, like until Ushuaia in Argentina. It was amazing trip. This was one of the things I was planning for a long time to do, like meet some places that I'm afraid that I cannot meet later, like we meet some glaciers, we meet some snow mountains, we met some places that are really wild, like, and so different from our reality. And we were planning this for sure, long time. I recall before I was married, I've been married for 13 years. Before I was marrying my wife, I was telling her that I want to go to Perito Moreno, one of the glaciers we met with her, because I'm afraid that this is melty and we cannot have a chance to meet. But I've been invested on this trip for more than a year, like creating plans, creating routes, creating preparing the car, preparing ourselves, like we need to have some idea what we were facing. Like we went from 40 Celsius degree to minus 3 in the same trip, like in 30 days. But the chance to work remotely make all these things possible. I think could be harder to have 30 days straight for a vacation. Even in Brazil, that our laws say that you need to give your employees like 30 days of vacation per year. It's really difficult to have the whole 30 days straight. You need to split this in two vacations during the year and etc. But working remotely, I have a small advantage of the time zone because I'm working for a company in Mountain Time, and so we have like 4 hours difference, and so I start to work 4 hours before then start every day. And so if it's like 8 a.m. here, is 4 a.m. for them. And so I use this small advantage of the time zone to drive during all these 4 hours. And so instead of start to work at 8 a.m., I start to work at noon. And so I use these 4 hours to drive during my trip. And so every time we work, we leave from São Paulo during a Saturday. We drove like whole day. At Sunday, we drove for a whole day and we were at Argentina already. And during the working days, we drove only 4 hours. During the morning, we woke up like 4 a.m., 5 a.m., prepare ourselves, prepare the car and drove for 4 hours, maybe 5 hours sometimes. And, when we found a good place to spend the night, we stop by having lunch, work a lot. And actually the work took more time, like to stop the work instead of stop work like 5 p.m., 6 p.m. I was stopping the work 8 p.m., 9 p.m. sometimes, but it was a good effort to have this experience to work and I don't know, meet the world. I would not say like it's a vacation because it was not a vacation, but we had a chance to meet the work and not stopping to work.
Well, what you're doing is you're not working, waiting for a vacation. What you're doing is you're living your life.
Yeah.
And I think that's just beautiful because you don't want to be in that position that you're 90% of your time when you're working, you're just waiting for that vacation to come.
Yeah.
You're experiencing it every day. And Bruno, I gotta say, you're an inspiration to how you're living your life. And that's just beautiful. I thank you very much for this conversation. I've really enjoyed it. I've enjoyed getting to know you. I think that you really have a great positive attitude to development, to technology, to battling through the evolution of the tech space that we've got right now, but also to how to learn and understand what your clients' needs are,
mm-hmm.
and how to do it in a beautiful way that you're giving the best version of yourself to your work. So thank you so much for being on What the Code today. I've really enjoyed this conversation.
I really enjoyed too. Thank you for having me. It was really cool to recall these stories and tell for a new person. And it's cool for seeing you understand all my experiences. And it was cool for me too to remember these good timings and etc. And I have just one final question. It was this interview for a job because I can apply for X-Team today.
Oh, welcome to X-Team. You would be an amazing X-Teamer. You're exactly what we look for, you know, to come on board. You know, X-Team.com, sign up. We'll have you. Our clients would love you. You are the epitome of what we search for. So we'd be delighted with that.
This was my first time like being interviewed beside a job interview. In English, I would say. I had like bunch of other interviews in Portuguese, but in English, this is the first interview I had that is not a job interview.
Well, you smashed it. Can you please share with us your social media or your links so that people know where to find you, Bruno?
Good. If you want to follow me, you can find me in every social network by @eGermano. It's like my electronic version. E Germano, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, I don't know, Mastodon, YouTube for sure. YouTube is my most active social network. You can find all my videos there, but my videos are in Portuguese. I don't know if you learn Portuguese, but you can watch. No, right now YouTube had this new feature, like for auto translate, you can listen in different languages automatically using AI.
And now you've got this great content in English that we can add to it as well.
Yeah. This is the first content in English. I create content in English before, but was so short that I removed it.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Bruno. Really enjoyed this.
Thank you, Amity. It was really nice to meet you. It was really nice to be part of this. Thank you.